Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, July the 17th, 2026. 7:17:26, 17 minutes past the hour, and we already have a phone call coming in here. Matt Morgan, by the way, has joined us live in the studio. Matt, how you doing?
Doing pretty well.
You made it through all the smoke this morning.
Barely.
All right, let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Love your city.
Well, good morning. How are you on this Friday?
Well, I'm making smoked Canadian bacon.
What? As if you needed any more smoke in your house.
Hey, it's pretty unbelievable, isn't it?
Terrible. Terrible. Meteorologists are saying nothing like this ever because of the humidity, the low pressure, and the amount of smoke coming in from Canada.
Well, the way this is, just imagine a meteor of good size hitting Earth. Just think how thick, how dense, how it would wipe everything out.
Hey, before we get into this, I do want, since we're on this topic, during the break there, I got a message from one of our longtime listeners, Linda, not Linda Sims, but Linda, who's been listening for years and years to me. She said, some businesses temporarily closed yesterday in northern Ohio around the lake in order to help keep people safe from the smoke. Yesterday was very bad up there. My daughter, who lives up in Marblehead, gave her that report. So that's pretty significant.
Yep, a friend of mine I was talking with yesterday lives in Port Clinton. Horrible.
Yeah, not good
just
times.
A mess.
Not good times.
Yep. What's this about voting IDs and that you were talking about earlier?
Oh, the president gave a speech last night, a 27-minute speech on. I mean, essentially, it was to pass his bill. That would require a lot of people, not just ID, because we already present ID at the voting booth. I mean, anybody who's ever voted knows that. It's that it would have to be the name that, especially for women, this is a problem, that matches your maiden name. There's some weird stuff in the bill. The bill has no chance of passing the Senate right now, even with a Republican Senate.
Well, you know,
Senate.
When you think about it, I don't know where it came from, women's liberation movement, that when women would get married, they would hyphenate their maiden name with the man's surname.
Right, but I don't even think that would work, because I think it has to read exactly what your birth certificate says.
You know, and I don't think, I'd have to, it's been so long, I don't think you necessarily have a Social Security number on your birth certificate, do you?
You know, mine is. I'm sure. I'm pretty sure
it is.
I think so.
So, why can't they keep it simple? A Social Security number and your picture, because a birth certificate sure as hell doesn't have your picture on it, you know?
Well, right, but
you know, even yet, and this day may come where you're going to have 3 samples to go vote. You're going to need a urine sample, stool sample, and blood sample.
Well, you know what's interesting? If you go back 10 years, let's say 15 years, even here in Marion County, it was much more difficult to vote then. We had many polling locations that were not handicap accessible. We were using the Coliseum, which apparently a lot of people had keys to, and that makes for an unsafe voting polling place, which is why we don't use the Coliseum anymore. So, and electronic voting machines. I mean, when you used to have to punch the holes in the things, that was much more difficult for a lot of people. So voting,
well, those were mechanical.
Right. So voting has become easier, and that was always the idea, because we don't have a large turnout of people who vote in this country.
I don't think the issue was the voting became easier as much as quicker results.
Well, I don't know about that, because I think it's actually slower now than it was then.
Well, that could be due to the people collecting the ballots and scanning them, downloading the scanner information.
Well, but coming back to last night, which is where the conversation was, there is this idea, but this is all based on voter fraud. And without question, that's what the president is saying. But yet, he can provide no information on voter fraud that it has ever happened. No courts can provide any information that any significant voter fraud has ever happened. And no state can provide any information. So we had 27 minutes last night of the president basically accusing China of interfering in one election, 2020, the only election he lost. But yet he couldn't present any information that a vote was actually changed. So his act going to his bill going to the Senate has no legs to pass, and he certainly didn't make that case last night. But
well, did he specify in which kind of election, states elections or presidential elections?
I believe this is all elections.
We know for a fact, Los Angeles, that's major fraud there with the city of Los Angeles in the mayoral race.
All of those absentee
ballots that came in were an extreme majority of the, I forget what her name is, but it was so lopsided that it knocked Pratt, wasn't that his name, that was running?
Oh, this one that recently happened.
Yeah, in Los Angeles.
So you think that was fraud?
Well, you know, it kind of makes one wonder, what the hell, all of these absent ballots? Plus, there had been reports of homeless people voting, getting money to vote.
Well, here's the thing. Nobody wants voter fraud. But I have never seen yet where anybody has ever been able to prove that it's happening.
Well, hold your horses, because I think we're going to be seeing it out of Los Angeles.
Well, I've been hearing that about the 2020 election for six years.
The 2020 presidential election?
Yeah.
That's much wider in scope. You can zero in on Los Angeles a lot easier than you can for a presidential election.
But I think here's the problem. Why is the only election that Trump lost the one that had voter tampering? The two that he won, he doesn't seem to have a problem with the outcome of those.
I don't know. You have to ask him. Why don't you get him on sometime?
Well, I think people have asked him, and I don't think he likes that question. And also, I think it's also very interesting that when he won the first time, the person overseeing the elections was President Obama. When he won the last time in 2024, the person overseeing the elections was Biden. The election that he claims was tampered with in 2020, he was the president.
You know, this stuff gets so goddamn convoluted, twisted, and everything.
You got that right. I agree with that.
And I think it's all for a purpose.
Me too.
To maintain electorate apathy.
I think it's to try, you know, nobody, if you can cite anybody in high office that has ever questioned the integrity of the vote, and a lot of people had reason to, certainly Al Gore being one of those in recent times, he got more votes than George W. Bush. George W. Bush's brother was the governor of the state where the dispute was.
Al Gore should know because, you know, he invented the internet.
Well, but Al Gore did not question the vote in that election. Nixon And it's pretty much almost fact now that the Kennedys screwed around with things in Chicago and Texas, yet Nixon did not ask for a recount because he said this is not good for the country to question the veracity of the vote. And Hillary got more votes than Trump did, and she did not ask for a recount on that particular election. So I don't know why anybody without any proof would make these claims unless they wanted people to think that they were possibly not losing, which Trump does seem to have a problem with.
Well, a smokescreen. I mean, diversion, sleight of hand tricks, and all of that kind of stuff. What the country needs to do is term limits, period, across the board, for state, local, etc.
Like, I think a lot of people would agree with that.
The citizens of Marion are going to vote on something that should never even be put on the ballot just because it didn't cost anything to put it on the ballot for four-year terms for the not-ready-for-prime-time politicians.
I think most people would agree with you that everything needs term limits, but the problem there was I didn't hear five people stand up in the council meeting when this was passed and object to it.
And people should take note, and those people who did not object to it, they should be voted out of office.
No, I'm saying I didn't hear any citizens saying they had a problem with it. A matter of fact, I heard citizens mm-hmm. that were there stand up and say they thought it was a good idea.
Well, those citizens are ones that either have a lot of money and don't give a damn, or love getting screwed by government.
Hey, hold on.
You know, $9,000 a year, so you got $18,000 for a bumpkin that can get voted out after the second year versus $36,000 for a bumpkin that you have to wait 4 years to vote out.
Matt,
it's economics.
Matt's here now. Matt saw this speech last night by the president and also may have some thoughts on this four-year terms of city council. Matt, what are your thoughts on the speech by the president last night and this whole city council extended terms thing?
Well, I think the extended term is probably a shorter response. So, as far as the extended and staggered terms go, I mean, I don't see any. I mean, staggered terms, I guess, wouldn't be bad, but I don't know why you would need to extend the terms to 4 years. I mean, you know, 2 years, you can just, you know, every other year there's an election. I think that would make sense. I guess there was, you know, to my understanding, there's some reason as to why that couldn't be done, but there's that. But the speech Donald Trump gave last night, I think that, I don't know, Donald Trump, he just, he did blame China, and he said that he declassified some documents that were supposed to show something or another. I haven't seen the documents yet. I gotta go read them, but, so there's that. I mean, I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in the man, and I don't think that the elections were stolen in 2020. I mean, it's just, like,
if they didn't want him, why would they allow it to happen in 2024?
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. I mean, if they stole the election from him in 2020, and he ran again in 2024, why wouldn't they just steal the election in 2024?
Well, they had Kamala Harris there, that's why.
Well, you certainly think she would have stopped it. She was part of the administration that I think he's blaming these things on.
Anybody with a modicum of common sense would never have voted for Harris.
But if the vote doesn't matter, then if their elections are being stolen, why not just steal it? See, that's what doesn't make any sense about this.
So there are 10 cookies in the cookie jar. If you can get away with stealing two of them, why not steal the other 8? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying, why is the only election that was stolen the one that he lost? See, that's your problem. Now, if you're going to say that maybe one that you won was stolen,
then we'll
talk.
But how can you say, well, I think what you just said, if it was stolen and you lost, you have an issue. But if you lost and you say it was stolen, kind of depends.
No, I'm saying if you won an election and you're questioning that one, then I might start to believe something you're saying. Because that would not benefit you. But it benefits you to say it was stolen when you lost. So that's kind of where you lose all your credibility.
Oh, well. What's that that somebody said? You can't trespass on stolen land.
I don't know. The whole thing
is idiotic. It's like we've been living for the past 10, 15 years in a movie with the Marx Brothers, and they throw in the Three Stooges just to add a little more confusion.
Well, and I think that's one of the problems. Last night, ABC and NBC Network, for one of the first times, said, we're not carrying this speech. And CBS, who tends to be favorable to Trump, said they would carry the speech, and it was only a 27-minute speech, but it got to be a certain amount of time into the speech, they pulled it off. They pulled it off the air because they felt it was so many things that weren't true without substantiation were being said that they could not continue to let it air in good faith.
Well, I think the broadcasters in general are not broadcasting in good faith. It's who can you trust? All trust has been washed away with all of the lies, cover-ups, etc., etc. It's difficult. You can't trust the newspapers. You can't trust radio or television. It goes to the play of the day by George Goebbels. You know, lie, lie, lie until they believe the lie.
But see,
and a lot of people are using that playbook.
I've said it many times, and you can't fix things that are the way they are. But if a newspaper lied, if a broadcast network lied, they could pull your license. They could sue you for libel. There are ways to deal with this.
Depends on who's controlling the FCC.
Well, again, if they're letting people through, that's probably because of a political doctrine that they follow, and that's the way it goes. And if people are letting people through the FCC, the FCC's rules don't change a whole lot. Look at the rule. I've seen the rules pretty good. I told you the biggest change I had seen in the FCC in the last 10 years was at one point they decided that it wasn't so much, it used to be their biggest concern was that you were broadcasting in the public interest, that you were giving a lot of time to local events in your area. Then they shifted completely away from that and decided it was more about the content of your programming. Was your programming something they liked? And that's pretty much what it came down to.
Is that kind of the way it is today?
You know, I don't deal with them today, and I'm glad not to deal with them.
No,
but I would guess it's with that policy. Yeah, I would say
that's
it is
the way it is today.
I would say because the things that
that's scary as hell. Those cows on The View. Outrageous.
Yeah, but the show is no different. The show's been on for 25, 30 years now. It's no different than it ever was. You're allowed to do that.
Oh, it's changed.
They had on Janie Vance.
You just said the FCC hasn't changed that often. At one point it changed to this or that, so it's had to have changed.
Which,
you know?
Yeah, but I'm saying...
It's part of the monopoly of Disney.
Right, but I'm saying they are breaking no broadcasting rule. But if somebody didn't like the content, which used to mean nothing, content of a program, as long as you were abiding by their rules, that was okay. Now they'll never tell you it's your content, but they certainly find problems with a lot of other things. And they never cite you for anything. You know, I can say I have never been cited by the FCC in my life or any station I was a part of. But what they do at license renewal time is they say, oh, you know, we might have got one complaint in 4 years ago, so we've really got to look at that.
Yep, you went in with a bloody nose, and that was considered a biohazard, Scott. Come on.
Right, but that's all content. That has nothing to do with are you abiding by their rules. That has nothing to do with are you broadcasting in the public interest.
Well, it makes it an interesting situation. They grant you a license, but they govern freedom of speech. Interesting, isn't it?
Well, but they apparently care a lot about opinion. That's where they are these days.
Yeah, well, they shouldn't. They shouldn't be afraid of opinion. Otherwise, how do things change without opinions?
Well, we shall see as time goes on.
Well, hey, to a smoke-free Marion.
We hope. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Okay, any follow-up on that, Matt?
No, but I did want to add that during that Trump speech, he made point to say that you can't trust the media, and that all the media is supports the radical left, and I think there was another part to that.
There's,
yeah.
There's a lot of that. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. I wanted to talk about the swap stuff.
Oh, go ahead.
So I haven't been able to catch everything all week. I had a couple points I wanted to bring up, though. I've seen a lot of people talking on the subject about there's no expectation of privacy in public.
Right, right.
So I was curious to get your opinion on that. I have an opinion on that. In my brain, the big differentiator there is, you know, maybe you have no expectation of privacy from individuals, but, you know, maybe from the government is a different question.
Well, I mean, everybody's got a camera on their phone now. Everybody can,
right.
Can yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think if you're out in public, you probably shouldn't be doing things wrong because it wouldn't take very much for somebody to whip out a phone and videotape you. But you're allowed to do what you want, I guess.
Right. So, I guess, and, you know, I've spent a lot of looking into this and thinking about it. The couple interesting things, I think, are some Supreme Court cases that are not, you know, obviously we don't have any Supreme Court cases for Flock specifically because it's so new. But historically, we have Katz, we have Carpenter, and actually Chatry, you know, just last month. And from what I'm seeing, you know, in my opinion, I think if you look at these cases, you can see that the Supreme Court is generally saying, you know, it's kind of a gray area. You don't have an expectation of privacy, but at the same time, you don't lose your Fourth Amendment just because you're in public.
Right, but I don't think the Marion Police Department, if we bring it here locally, I don't think the Marion Police Department is saying that you do. A matter of fact, I think they would probably agree with you. I think what they're saying is we're using these cameras as license plate readers, and that's it. And that's why they were there, and that's why they are there, and that's what we use them for. So I don't think the police department or the police chief, now I don't want to speak for him, I'm not a spokesperson for him, but I think he would probably agree with you on a lot of this.
Yeah, and that's where it gets sticky, because I think, you know, most people would agree, you know, you trust the Marion police, but with these systems, and I don't know that Marion has made this public knowledge exactly what their arrangement is. When all this data is being shared nationwide, you're now dealing with the question of, you know, is this data available on a federal level?
Well, I think the police department has said no, and I think the police department has also invited anybody who wants to come look at how the program operates to come look at how the program operates.
Right. And I guess where I wanted to take this is sort of my understanding of the system, You know, and again, with those Supreme Court cases that I mentioned, I think we all agree that, you know, if the Marion police or any level of law enforcement wanted to put a GPS tracker on your vehicle, they would need a warrant for that. Would you agree with that?
I believe that's the law, yeah.
And so, you know, my perspective of it is if you have an expansive network of these cameras, which we do, you know, not only here but across the country, if you're traveling and your location in time is being recorded through a network, and all that data is being aggregated, you know, I think the argument is that is in essence, you know, in essence the same thing as a GPS tracker on your car. It's accomplishing the same goal. It's creating a record of your location, you know, where are you at and at what time. I think I tend to agree with that.
Well, as far as the license plate tracker goes, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. You know, it's you know, obviously it doesn't have quite the it's not quite as granular as a true GPS would be, but it's the same idea. It's a system that's, you know, making a record of where you're at and when. So, you know, that's what a GPS does. That's what the flock cameras do.
Well, I think the argument being made here, and again, I'm not a spokesperson for the police department, but I think the argument that is being made is that technology has come a long way, certainly in the last 25 years, and policing has changed a lot because of that technology. I mean, just breathalyzer machines. I mean, we think about that. They didn't have breathalyzer machines 70 years ago. You know, they had to figure out if you were drunk or not on the spot. They couldn't cite a number. They couldn't have you breathe into something. Now, nobody objected to that. And also, lie detector machines came around, and they started to use those if you decided you would like to be, if they got your permission. So they use those now. They use all kinds of things, technology-wise. I mean, I'm not even sure if, the guns that do track your speed. I'm not sure what they're called.
Radar guns.
They didn't have radar guns 70 years ago that tracked how fast you were going. They just had to guess how fast you were going down the road. It looked like you were speeding. Now they can tell you exactly how fast you were going because of the radar gun. I don't hear people objecting to those. And so I guess they see this, I would guess, as just a new form of technology to help them in a city, which is down police officers, track people who are breaking the law.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've talked to, you know, a number of police officers about the flock issue. And that's the one thing I hear consistently is, you know, of course, this has been a big game changer for them. However, you know, I have talked to some that do see the Fourth Amendment, you know, implications. And one in particular, I thought I give him a lot of credit for, you know, having this level of introspection. But from a police officer, he told me, he said, man, you know, there's a lot of things that would make my job easier, that wouldn't be okay. You know, he said it would be a lot easier if I could just enter anybody's home at any time, or if I could search anybody's vehicle at any time. But, you know, I can't do that, and I wouldn't want to do that. There's certain guardrails in place, not only on local police, and again, you know, I support the local police 100%. I'm not trying to you know, put any shade on them, but, you know, there's a line we walk in this country. Obviously, I think that's one of the fundamental things when we founded this country was the checks and balances and the balance of power that we place between the people and the government. And I think, as you mentioned technology and the radar guns and the lie detectors, and I think that that's a fair point, but those aren't necessarily, you know, constitutional issues. I think we have to be especially careful when it comes to, you know, civil rights and constitutional issues.
Well, I mean, what about the computers in the police officers' cars now that they can run your license plate? Now, those didn't exist 70 years ago. So, now, how's that?
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's another thing I see a lot of people say, a lot of people who don't have an issue with the flock cameras, they say, well, hey, you know, any officer can run your plate at any time, so, you know, they're basically viewing it as something that's always existed. But I would implore those people to understand that when a police officer runs your plate, the only things that come up are, you know, your record with the government as far as perhaps a criminal record, your vehicle registration and your driver's license status. You know, that's all stuff that we know the government knows. We agreed to the government knowing that stuff. Now, what the flock camera is doing is, again, as I mentioned, if somebody searches you in the flock system, they're seeing a history of your location, which has never been a capability that the police has had, especially without a warrant. So I think that's a good thing to talk about and make sure that people understand. The police have never been able to run your plate and see that you were at CVS 2 weeks ago and you were at Walmart last night. You know what I mean? They're two very different things.
Right, but you know, one of the problems here is that we seem to be okay with... We're not okay with this technology, license plate readers, for a lot of the reasons that you've stated. But one thing a lot of people love now is that anybody can hop on the internet and search somebody's criminal record. They like that. They like to search people's criminal record. Now, what privacy do you have as a citizen there? I think that's an invasion of privacy by somebody who shouldn't... Why do you need to do that? And people can jump on and they can find out what party affiliation you have, even though 9 times out of 10 it's wrong. It just might be what primary you voted in. That's all available on the internet now with a Google search. They can go on there and find anything about you, your age, where you were born, your address. What privacy do you have there? And all, they can find a picture of your house if they type in your address. They can find previous owners, how much you paid for your house. They can find all that info. What right to privacy do we have in this country? And at what point are we going to, why are we picking and choosing? Because I'll tell you, and I am not saying this is a bad thing, but when a person who has been involved in sexual abuse moves in your neighborhood, they alert the people who live in that neighborhood, and you can certainly look that up on the internet as well, how many people you have living close to you and how far they live from you who've committed a sexual abuse crime. Now, do they have rights to privacy as American citizens who've served their time? I guess not. You couldn't have had that technology in the 1950s to do any of that stuff.
Right.
So why don't we uproar about that stuff? Because we like that stuff. We like knowing that stuff.
Well, a lot of the stuff you mentioned is stuff that, like, is sold to third-party companies via, like, you know, things that take... Like on the internet, your data is bought and sold, like, all the time. And there is a big push to get privacy, I guess internet privacy. Because there isn't...
Where is it?
Well, I mean, it's public people. I mean, there's no...
Who sold it in the beginning?
Who sold what?
It had to come from somewhere.
Oh, well, third-party company. Like you said, I mean, like, if I can get on... Unless you're using, like, the clerk of court's website or something like that. If you're using just, like, a random website that like, because some websites will charge you for information. No, the ones that charge you for information are just getting it from public sources.
No, I'm talking
buying
that,
it from public
like
sources
the clerk of
for
court.
Cheap.
Why is the clerk of court have that available to anybody for any reason?
Well, I mean, it's, like, hiring, that kind of thing. If you want to hire somebody, you can run a background check on them.
That's fine. Run a background check on somebody. You pay to do that. Just to Google somebody and find out their criminal record, why is that necessary? Why is that? Why isn't that an invasion of your privacy?
Because that's not government surveillance. It's not surveillance of any kind.
It's not?
Yeah, that's almost the opposite.
So the government can't look that up?
That's giving the people a peek into
but
the government.
But government surveillance is like... Yeah, the government isn't... It's not like the government's
Catholic. So we like to... So if the public just could look up your license plate... And find out where you've been, you'd be okay with it.
No.
Well, why not?
Yeah. It's the same thing. Like, well, you don't need to know where I've been.
Well, now, wait a second. But we need to know what crimes you've committed?
Yeah.
Well, we agree as a society.
Are we police officers? Why do we need to know that?
So, I don't know. You can avoid people who do bad things.
Yeah, I want to avoid people who have shot people's houses up and kidnapped people.
Yeah, and then, you know, you could do that if you check their background. Actually, those people are probably going to be...
No, I want to know what car they're driving. So, I was saying, none of this makes any sense. None of this could have been done 30 years ago, but now we make it all available to anybody for any reason.
Well, yeah. and that goes back to my point about, you know, it's one thing if we're talking about me looking stuff up about you or you looking stuff up about me, but when it becomes the government, you know, again, that becomes a constitutional thing, and in my opinion, that's such an integral part of the reason this country was founded, was the people who built this country understood what it meant to have an overreaching government, a government that has more power than you would like, and how that goes 100%
okay.
of the time.
Well, let me ask this. Okay, helicopters. Okay, Marion was very revolutionary in the 70s that at that time, we don't have it now, but at that time, the sheriff's station did have a helicopter in Marion, Ohio. Now, that's a revolutionary bit of technology in the 1970s, that they could put that helicopter in the air and look for people who were kidnapped, look for people who were speeding away, looking for people who the police could not catch on ground. Now, was that government overreach because of technology?
Well, and I think that brings us to an important distinction. It's about the time frame, because if the government is observing you at a single point in time and space, you know, that's okay. But if Marion was using the helicopter to follow one individual in Marion for weeks and months at a time, and they had no warrant and they had no just cause, then no, that's not okay. So, you know, it comes down to the use. And Flock, obviously, is the latter, where it's tracking everybody for weeks and months at a time that we know about.
Well,
there's no way for us to know what that time is.
And again, I'm just playing, I don't want to say devil's advocate. That sounds bad. I'm just going back because I think the opposite side should be represented. But what I want to say in Marion, Ohio, what's confusing to me, and we, thanks to the person where we got it, posted on our website yesterday the ordinance by Marion City Council from 2023 in regard to these Flock cameras that says specifically that a vote should have been taken when it was time to renew the cameras. That vote was not taken, has not been taken. Why is nobody doing that?
Well, that concerns me as well. I think and that's why I think my position is I'm trying to avoid large claims one way or the other. What I'm trying to say is I think we just need to be careful. I think we need to have a lot of consideration, discussion. We need to take it slow. And I think we just need to make sure we're doing things by the book. And I think we need to make sure everybody understands, you know, the technology. And I'm afraid that even the people using it, and you know, I don't want to take up too much time today or go too far down any rabbit holes, but I guess sort of my final thing I would want to touch on is, you know, Flock Safety, they have a long history of violating agreements with municipalities and violating contracts. And, you know, they tell a police department one thing and turns out that that's not true and they've been doing the other. You know, there's countless examples of that. And at the end of the day, they're a private technology company. They're not beholden to us. They're not beholden to any voters. They're not elected. They're not even a public company. They're private. They're for-profit. And they're a tech startup.
Well,
and I think it's dangerous for them to have all this data. We know what tech startups do with data. They use it for profit. And we don't know what happens on their servers and behind their closed doors.
Well, and I think that's a valid point, and I think a lot of people are probably fearful of that. But I think it's very interesting that on Monday night the vote was not taken to eliminate Flock cameras for putting legislation in front of a committee. Now, yesterday, we had the chair of that committee on this program, Ralph Smith, and I don't know if you heard that interview, but I mean, he more or less said, and I don't want to mischaracterize this because he said a lot of things yesterday, but essentially that if the legislation was changed before it went back to city council, just to put rules in and take the part out about eliminating flock cameras, that he would not be totally opposed to that. So this legislation could be so amended, possibly, not that that's what's going to happen, but it could be a it could be amended by three people in committee, because the vote wasn't taken last week at council, by the time it got back to council, to no longer read at all about eliminating the flock cameras. This could be more about just putting roadblocks in on the current cameras we have.
Right, and I think that that would be a shame, because, you know, like I said, you know, anybody who cares to look into it, you could, there's countless examples of flock safety not backing their word up, lying to municipalities, and at this point with their track record, I think any limitations or guardrails you try to put in place with flock in the flock system, you know, unfortunately, you're just taking a private company at their word that they are following, you know, those agreements. And they've proven to not be very good at that. So.
Well, I tell you what, hey, stay tuned this morning if you can, because we're going to be live through 1 o'clock, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot more talk about this. And if anything jumps up this morning that catches your ear, call back in.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate you taking me on.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye. Always appreciate the calls. Phone lines are open. I had to see, this is what you don't see in the studio. I had to throw my hand up to Matt. He was about to talk the same time as the caller. And that drives me insane, crosstalk. But go ahead now.
I mean, I don't remember what I was going to say. It's been a while.
Okay. Well, I guess I did it then.
Something about, I don't know, that had to do with the flock cameras.
Phone lines are open, by the way. We got 2 minutes left in this segment. Going to break then, but we'll be back. It's a hot topic here. There's a lot of nuance in this right now. I don't think people are saying you should go into everybody's home. I don't think people are saying you should search everybody's car.
Why not? If you're not doing anything wrong.
Go ahead, caller. You got a minute left.
Yeah, I also think that people in the Supreme Court should have term limits, too. That's crazy. You know, they're in there for life. I mean, they get in their 80s and 90s, and they're still in there. We see what a 80-year-old president's doing right now.
But a lot of them do leave.
As far as flock cameras, I mean, the driving is a privilege. Okay, it's not a right. And the flock cameras do a lot of good. Maybe I wouldn't be against Prem, you know, them setting rules. But our president also has us in a situation where we may be susceptible to terrorists. Now, those flock cameras do a lot of good in catching terrorists. But it wouldn't surprise me if we don't have a terrorist stack here, you know, one of these days.
Well, let's hope. Hey, the conversation continues. Don't tune away. We just got to take a break, and we'll be back.
Okay.
Hey, stay tuned to WGH Talk Radio. The flock conversation continues in 15 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism. What do you? How do you deal?